Shall we get started, brothers and sisters? The Lord is good. Our numbers have diminished as many sheep and shepherds have left.
The average age is a lot higher.
Thank you, Judy. All right, well, the Lord is good to us, and he demonstrates his love for us every day. And I've been studying, as I've said numerous times, looked at in our lives, dwelling with the Lord. That as we go forward and in our time on earth, we have the Lord wants us to know him in an intimate and joyful way, and to give glory to God and to give glory to him. And the scripture is full of stories and histories and work that the Holy Spirit is doing within us to make us one with him. And so I have shared a number of times on various aspects of this, and the Lord has given me again another scripture to work from, and let's just take a moment. Lord, we thank you that we have gathered here together. You have gathered us, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to hear your voice and to know your way and to listen to the testimony of Jesus through our brothers and sisters in the Word. We thank you, Lord, and praise you that you love us and care for us in every way, and that you have made the way for us, and it is not us. We can't do it ourselves. We fail when we try to correct ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time together, and Lord, that your Word would go forth and be heard, and you would touch us and minister to us and prepare us for all that you have, and walk with us. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to talk about dwelling with the Lord, and one of the examples I've used in the past as I've talked about this, one of the familiar figures from the scripture is David, the shepherd king. He is he had opportunity to know the Lord in unique ways, and he was a young shepherd. He was a soldier. He was a general. I don't know, they didn't call him that, but I think that's what he would have been considered. He was certainly a leader of soldiers. He became the king, and he led Israel in its glory. David also wrote many of the Psalms. And as a matter of fact, the shepherd king, he was also the psalmist king. he expressed and saw so many things about the Lord. And one of my favorites, of course, and I've used it before, is Psalm 23. And David, says the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, he knew whereof he spoke. He knew the Lord. He knew the heart of the Lord. And he had felt and knew his protection, his keeping, his loving kindness. And he spent much time as a shepherd alone. As a king, he spent much time seeking the Lord, trying to know him, wanting to know him, to understand how he would have him lead his people. And so I was reading in and around Psalm 23 and came to realize that many of these psalms are psalms of David, and they are much of what he is talking about is dwelling with the Lord. And so what I'd like to start with this morning is Psalm 19. It's a psalm of David, and if we could have the words, I'm going to read the entire psalm. Maybe not right away, but at some point I will read the psalm. The heavens are telling, verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line or their sound has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for us, the sun. This is in the heavens. He has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, speaking of the sun and the heavens. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm going to pause there. The Lord is revealing through our brother David what he has seen. And he is giving testimony to what the Lord has placed in him, put in his heart. He's talking about the heavens, and I believe previously the creation is God's work that he has done, that we have a place to dwell, and we dwell with him and we will dwell with him forever. The heavens are telling the glory of God, verse 1, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. He's talking about what God has done that is showing. It is in the intimacy that David had with the Lord. He saw and he knew and he experienced what God has done in creation. And he realizes and that God is telling him and expressing. He said God is expressing himself. Jesus, the Lord, is expressing himself in the creation. And the word of the Lord goes forth, and the life of the Lord and the heart of the Lord, David saw and knew and was trying to express here. The sound of God's voice has gone out through all the earth, and the utterances, his utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. Now, the Lord has shown in this psalm, he is speaking of his heart, and through the voice and through the eyes and what David has seen. And he is expressing himself. He's saying, God has come forth in verse 5, which is as a bridegroom. The sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. When the sun comes up, it is brilliant. It is overpowering, overwhelming. It is hot. It is very bright. Its rising, verse 6, is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. David is seeing these things. He's knowing things of God, the ways of God, the heart of God, the desire of God for him, for his people, his desire of God for David to know him and to express him and to be strengthened by him. David is the king, would become the king of the Jews, and in the Lord's purpose and time, he brought forth the law that is perfect, verse 7, brought forth the law as perfect, and David saw it, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the precepts, the principles of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. David's expressing what he has seen in the Lord. He has learned from the teachers that he would have had. He has learned from the scripture that he was able to read. And he is testifying that I have seen this. God, and this is the way God is, that his law is perfect. He wants to restore the soul. Our soul is attacked and diminished by our sin. And God is taking care of that. The Lord Jesus would come and pay the price, and David saw it in the distance. He heard it from the heart of the Lord. He knew that these things were right. He knew the commandments of the Lord. He was able to see things because God allowed him to see things, caused him to see things, wanted him to see things. And so it is with us. He loves each and every one of us. He cares for us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know the wonder, the wealth, as he describes it here, as more desirable than gold. Well, it's not about gold. It's about the wonder of the Lord and the embrace of his heart for us, his desire for the life, his life to live within us. It's more desirable than gold, sweeter than honey. Verse 12, who can discern his errors, God's errors? Acquit me or acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our redeemer. And he has, in these verses, David is telling us that God has done what he has said he will do. He has carried us. He has made us blameless. We have been acquitted of our sin, a great transgression. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. He's saying, Lord, take me. I can't do it, but you can. Verse 13. Also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Lord, you have to do this. I can't stop myself. I can't, in my flesh, I can't carry out the law. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. We walk in the flesh for as long as we're on the earth. But he has covered us from all our sin. He has made a way that we are righteous by his blood poured out for us. And David knew this. David understood. He sensed it. He walked with God. He talked with God. And he knew the heart of God. Let the words of my mouth, verse 14, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, make me an acceptable sacrifice. Pour it out for you, Lord. I can't do it myself, but you can. I trust you by faith, Lord. I know you by faith. Well, I got to the end of this. I read several of these psalms, and there is much that is verbatim, but the heart of God is being expressed here, very similar to the way it's expressed in verse 19. It's in Psalm 20 and 23 and so forth. But what struck me, and I've never linked these things together, but what the Lord is telling us through David, the shepherd king, is what Paul is telling us in Romans. Now, that may be too much of a leap for you to grab a hold of right now, but trust me, it works. The Lord loves us, and the Lord has given us the verse that I quote more than any out of Romans is Romans 8, 1 and 2, that I'm going to come back and talk about a couple of earlier verses, but the verse that we talked in chapter 7. Paul is talking about the struggle that we have, that we can't stop sinning. We can't stop living in the flesh and being having evil present in me. But he expresses absolutely, positively in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's because of his blood. Because it's poured out, because he loves us and cares for us. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. How can that be? I can't do it myself. He has to do it, and he wants to do it. It's his desire. He wants us to know him. He wants us to walk in him. He wants us to be free from living in the flesh. Be free from being tempted and failing. Verse 3, this is what's important, that for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. God did. Not us. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned anything. We have no ability to deal with our sin. He must do it. God did, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He wants us to know him. The Spirit lives within us. We have been cleansed by his blood, and the Spirit can live within us. He lives within us. He wants us to be able to walk with him and to trust that he is with us and carrying us forward. That those verses are a blessing to us. But I wanted to go back and look at earlier in Romans in chapter 3. He's speaking of what has gone on, what God has done, where he is leading us, what he has done, what he has shown us, his power being displayed. In chapter 3, verse 7, but if through my lie the truth... No, that's not what I want to say. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than those who have gone before? No, not at all, who have failed. No, not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All, verse 12, all have turned aside together. They have become useless. Paul's expressing pretty clearly through the scripture, through the quotes and the expressions in Psalms and Isaiah, the prophets, all these things he has done for us. He has carried us. There is none, verse 12, there is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Though whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and the world may become accountable to God. Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, verse 21, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, in all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, verse 24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. David saw this. Abraham saw this. They lived by faith, as do we. And He builds our faith. He is the author and finisher of faith. We have fallen short, and we cannot do anything but fall short, except that we are justified by the gift of His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, verse 24. God has, as it says in verse 25, whom God displayed, Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness because of the forbearance of God He passed over sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness in the present time, that He may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is so important to us. You know, God isn't just flippantly. God is just. He loves us. He cares for us. He requires that there be payment for sin. That the blood of Jesus was poured out for that sin might be wiped out. Our sin is gone. It is no longer, it's not just, okay, just this once, I'm going to let you up from your responsibility here. No, the responsibility, it is gone completely. There is no more. There's no memory of it because Jesus has paid it all. And we, if we believe, we are carried forward. We are brought into relationship with Him who we have no right to be in that relationship. But He has made it. He has given it to us. I'd like to go over now to the next chapter, 4. So Paul is speaking of all these things that the failings that we have, he's spoken of, and the price that has been paid by Jesus, he has spoken of. In chapter 4, he talks about Abraham. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is what we're being called to join with Abraham. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to believe in God. And our belief, as God builds our faith and we desire and strive to believe and to trust Him that He is our Savior, He is our healer, He is our keeper, our provider. He is all in all for us. And so it was for Abraham as he walked with God and they traveled from Ur of the Chaldees, they traveled to the promised land, a land that Abraham didn't know. He came by faith. God built his faith and walked with him and gave him the strength to be able to do what he would ask him to do. Verse 4, now the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly. If we believe in Him, Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, us, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Abraham's faith, his trust, our trust, we are reckoned righteous. We are made righteous. Just as David also speaks, verse 6, David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. He goes on to talk about circumcision and uncircumcision. But he makes very clear in verse 9, is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. So Abraham was reckoned righteous before God revealed to him he wanted him to be circumcised. And he was, in verse 10, while he was circumcised, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. A lot of I think it's clear, and it may be, if it is not clear to you, seek the Lord. Ask him. He wants us to know. He wants us to trust him. That circumcision was a seal to Abraham of righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. We are not able to complete the law. We are not able to walk in righteousness, as I've said, and as I know we all know. He loves us. He cares for us. We have fallen short, and he has made us righteous despite our failings, because Jesus has died for us. He received the sign of circumcision. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us. And by faith in Jesus, we have been made clean. The Lord loves us, and he wants us to know him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to dwell with him. In that dwelling, we will be fed, we will be cared for, we will be loved, we will be granted vision into the heavenlies. By the Holy Spirit, he will lead us, he will guide our prayer, he will guide our life, he will show us himself. And that we can be a testimony, as David talked about, we can be a testimony to what God is doing and who he is. And we will see his life being demonstrated within us, among us, as we gather together unto a purpose. We gather together not just to enjoy the singing. We gather together to give glory to God. And we do. It's not something that just happens. When we gather together and when we lift up Jesus' name, and we sing by the Spirit and pray, God is glorified, and his people are built up. And he wants us to believe and to trust that he is doing this, that he is the one that is accomplishing his work, and he is the one who gives us the faith to believe. And we reach out. We can reach out, and he will embrace us. He gives us grace. By grace, he gives us himself. Verse 16 of chapter 4, for this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, the Jews, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, the father of many nations I have made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, in order that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. So Abraham is the father, our father. He is, we call him, he's the father of faith. He's we are his people. We are God's people because we are of the faith of Abraham, and that we trust him. And he touches us, gives us words, gives us life, shows us the way, opens our eyes and ears that we may see and hear and do, be fed, be our thirst be quenched for all that he has for us, by all that he has for us. Lord, we are thankful that you dwell among us, among your people. Lord, that we are not, we do not and cannot do enough to be made righteous. You have done it all, and you have made the way for us. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and we trust you, Lord. Your word has given us the assurance, and we believe in your word. We believe by the Holy Spirit, and trusting you in prayer, we thank you. We ask you, Lord, to walk with us, Lord, to help us to see you at work, that you would have a testimony in your people. And we thank you, and we ask you, Lord, to be with us and guide us and to walk with us in every way. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture is filled with the testimony of Jesus. Please, don't listen to me. Listen to the word and reach out for it, and the Lord will bless it.